My scripture today comes from the Gospel, the book of 1 John, chapter 3, and I'll be reading verses 17 through 24. As I frequently do, I will be reading from the Inclusive Bible. If you have more than enough material possessions and see your neighbors in need, close your hearts to them. How can the love of God be living in you? My children, our love must not be simply words or mere talk. It must be true love, which shows itself in action and truth. This, then, is how we'll know we belong to the truth. This is how we'll be confident in God's presence, even if our conscience condemns us. We know that God is greater than our conscience and that God knows everything. And that if our consciences do not condemn us, my friends, then we have confidence before God. And we will receive whatever we ask from God's hand because we keep the commandments and do what is pleasing in God's sight. The commandments are these. That we believe in the name of God's own, Jesus Christ. And that we love one another, as we're told to do. Those who keep these commandments live in God, and God lives in them. We know that God lives in us by the Spirit given to us. May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. At this time, I'm going to ask our good friend Bruce Pioff if we could trouble him to play us a nice song, sir.
Yeah.
Good to see all of you.
This is a song called Great White Spite. It's about a number of endangered species of whales. And I want to dedicate this to Tara Brown, who passed recently. Great creatures in the house of God they play. Beneath the icebergs deep below their pride. Hot through seven seas to the tropic calm breeze. Like angels without great white and the killer they blow. The spread salty sea, love and harmony, drifting like mountains, strong and wild. Majestically, mothers with their calves, circling round Venus's path, blissfully at sea, to play with Aphrodite, till danger threatened me with God's rainbow. And the hammerhead are done. The killer's race is near to run. To the San Antonians, the great white spite begins. Going down slow, God's rainbow. Great creatures in the house of God they glide. beneath the icebergs deep below they rise. High through the seven seas, to the tropics on the breeze, burning like angels without words.
Skills
thanks,
and
Mark.
The beautiful music he brings.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. My message this morning is entitled Come Get Your Love. Now, I dare say most of us are pretty good at showing love to other people. Whether it's a loved one or a stranger in need, most of us are pretty comfortable with expressing love. But for some of us, receiving love can be another thing altogether. Accepting and taking in support, appreciation, and encouragement can just be, for some of us, it can just be very difficult. Some folks just brush off compliments. They discount votes of confidence. And encouragement basically glance off their ears. It's truly surprising the number of people who can sometimes have a hard time accepting the good things they're offered, even if they're very generous in giving themselves. Harvey Hendricks, PhD, and Helen Kelly Hunt, PhD, married authors, co-authors of the book, Receiving Love, Transforming Your Relationship by Letting Yourself Be Loved. Well, they trace the problem that I was talking about to what they call a broken receiver. It's a part of us that can be damaged in early life when we're ridiculed, ignored, or punished for exercising basically natural emotions and need. Even the simple things like if you're going to sulk and be angry, then go to your room until you can be with other people. Now, as a result, self-protective mechanisms tend to kick in. And children, at least some of them, some children learn to hide part of themselves because of it. They grow up to be adults who act with, well, self-repression or self-rejection and tend to discount, deny, and degenerate another person's genuine expressions of love. Now, I definitely agree that this is a cause for some people having difficulty receiving love, but I don't think really that it is the only one. See, another common reason for not being able to receive love is prior experience of losing someone that you love. Whether it was from death, a breakup, or some other reason that has scared you, basically. Sometimes folks who have experienced this kind of loss, sometimes those folks spend all of their life pushing aside any love given to them, and the off chance that the person offering it might ultimately withdraw it one way or the other. And frequently they feel cynical and unsure in relationships, which, if you've been there, is not a comfortable or happy place to be. Again, it's a self-preservation mechanism. Now, social conditioning also has a habit of making us feel wary about being emotional openly and accepting of compliments and generosity and caring and kind acts. Frequently, we see accepting of such things as almost greedy or prideful or selfish. Now, the authors that I mentioned, Hendricks and Hunt, they say that part of the solution for this issue is to develop more compassion. Now, counter to that thought that you have to learn to love yourself before you can learn to love other people, they suggest that learning to love others, you learn to truly love yourself. They say that only then can you take in the love that others offer. But now, the reason behind that, because it sounds a bit counterintuitive, the reason behind that is because giving and receiving are part of the same internal structure. Giving and receiving, same internal structure. And I would only add that while I do believe that part of learning to love ourselves is learning to love other people, I do think it's particularly true of people of whom we are very aware of their faults as well as their positives. After all, no one knows a person's own faults or shortcomings better than themselves. And learning to love others while recognizing their faults, well, that can play an important role in learning to love ourselves while recognizing our own faults. But let's also recognize that the inverse can be true. Sometimes learning to love ourselves in spite of our faults lead us to loving others more fully. And sometimes, possibly more frequently, they happen hand in hand. Our scripture reading today tells us, if you have more than enough material possessions and see your neighbor in need, yet close your hearts to them, how can the love of God be living in you? Let's start considering that teaching by thinking about what might be going on inside of some of us when we hear that. I think that it's fair to say that most of us, if not all of us, want to be good people. Most of us here probably recognize the value of the teachings of Jesus and other great spiritual teachers. Most of us consider ourselves and strive to be morally and ethically upright citizens. But when we hear something like this teaching, it is not unusual. Well, for our defenses go up a little bit. What if, we say, what if they're going to buy drugs or alcohol with the money I give them? What if they're pulling a fast one and they just see begging as an easy way of making money? What if they're just lazy or living off the hard work of others? What if? Let me read that teaching again. If you have more than enough material possessions and you see your neighbors in need, yet close your hearts to them, how can the love of God be living in you? Now, in that teaching, you will find no qualifiers, no ifs or buts. If you have more than enough material possessions and you see your neighbors in need, yet close your hearts to them, how can the love of God be living in you? It is very human, and some would argue very practical or pragmatic to ask those questions before giving to someone. And oddly enough, just the way I said that contains the answer to the problem. It's very human, and one could argue very practical and pragmatic to ask those wide questions before giving to someone. You see, unfortunately, it can be very human, very practical or pragmatic to ask those what if questions before giving to someone. But in the end, this teaching is not solely about giving to people. It's not. When we reduce this to a question of giving, well, we make it very easy. Very easy
to give.
But the thing is, this teaching is ultimately not simply about giving. It is about loving. Or perhaps we could say it's about giving from a place of love. Now, understanding that, let's revisit my earlier statement. But switch out the word giving for loving. It's very human, and one can argue very practical or pragmatic, to ask those loving questions. Questions like, what are they going to do when they buy drugs? Are they going to pull a fast one? They're just being lazy. It's very human, and one could argue very practical or pragmatic, to ask those loving questions, before loving someone. Is it? No. I think we can all agree it's not. If you have more than enough material possessions, and you see your neighbor in need, then close your heart to them. How can the love of God be living in you? It's easy to read this teaching. It's easy to read it as basically saying that those who are really practicing love will help those in need. But listen to the question again. If you have more than enough material possessions and you see your neighbor in need, yet close your hearts to them, how? How can the love of God be living in you? How can loving abide and anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or a sister in need yet refuses help? Well, that sort of changes things. This verse on its end also seems to be in agreement with what Hendricks and Hunt have to say about receiving love. It's not how can someone who has God's love in them not do these things. It's not about how can they not do these things. It's how can someone who does not do these things receive love? That is to say, when we turn our backs to those in need, we turn our hearts from love. When our thoughts turn to the self-serving questions of what if, we turn our hearts from love. When we turn some people's lack of basic needs in their lives into reasons to hold on to the abundance in ours, we turn our hearts from love. When we turn from love because of the cost of giving, be it wealth or be it risking getting hurt, love can't fully abide in our hearts because our actions have made it clear that we do not want the fullness of love more than we want to ask the what if questions. More than we want to build, more than we want to hold on to our worldly goods, more than we want to protect our own well-being. I would make the argument that Hendricks and Hunt, as well as many spiritual teachings, are getting at this point. If we want to be better receivers of love, and I'm guessing most of us probably could stand to be a little bit better at it, then we need to learn to love others more unconditionally. And maybe particularly those whom we are very aware of their faults. When it comes down to it, there are really only two kinds of love. Just two. Selfish love and unconditional love. And we've all experienced both. Those who are expecting something from a relationship in return, well, they love selfishly, even if that something is love. On the flip side, unconditional love is never about personal gain. It's about loving someone for exactly who they are. Taking the bad with the good. It doesn't ask for what ifs. What if they get hurt? What if they're going to pull a fast one? just loves. It should be said at this point, this does not mean that we should ever tolerate abusive or otherwise unhealthy relationships. Healthy boundaries are necessary in all relationships. The ancient Jewish tradition, Kabbalah, teaches that we have to share with others and love unconditionally in order to grow spiritually. And while that might seem somewhat obvious to most of us, if we take an honest look at our actions, how good can we say we really are at sharing unconditional love? I mean, as humans, we're powerful. As are those that we love. But from a healthy spiritual perspective, our goal in sharing with others should always be to give them love without imposing standards that they must meet. When we expect something from other people for our own gain, we complicate relationships. We become a little less kind, and we can withhold love without even meaning to when we don't get what we want from the relationship. And conversely, we learn to love more openly and more fully without any expectation. And when we do, we soon begin to realize that in doing so, we have expanded our own capacity to receive love. I would make the argument that from a spiritual perspective, one of the key things that we need to do in life is to expand our capacity of love for others. And spiritually speaking, it's a big part of the fulfillment we find in life. Is directly related to how deeply we are growing in our unconditional love towards others. Most people agree that love is a basic human need, and many of us are very good at showing love to others. Equally, many aren't quite as good, at least, at receiving it as we could be. And I believe one of the most surefire ways of increasing our capacity to receive love is by giving it away. Love's sort of funny like that. When we give it away, it not only increases our capacity to receive it, we also tend to get more of it in return. I will conclude with the opening song from one of my favorite superhero movies, Guardians of the Galaxy. It's by the native Mexican American band Redbone, and it is the namesake of my message.
Well, my great-great-grandfather came from Amsterdam to Spartanburg, South Carolina. I don't know what he was thinking. So when I was a young man, I decided to trace my roots, and I took a trip back to Amsterdam. I had a real good time, and assumed that I'd probably be coming back to this wonderful place many times, because it was just great. Went to the Van Gogh Museum, but I've never been back. But I wrote this song when I was over there. It was the anniversary for the Queen. And it's kind of a happy song, which I think we need.
Absolutely.
Amsterdam, Bondale Park, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Pigeons flying, fans paint the sky.
Talking to a friend named John, he wanted to know where I come from. He said, buddy, won't you have a little wine? And he played for me a song on the drums. People talking about the third world, Gaddafi's words, number of pearls. He did not have too much to say. Found a smile upon my face, trying to decide what you want to chase. Wonder what the influence are gonna do. And he played for me a song. On the drums. The anniversary for the Queen, we celebrated it on that same. Singing songs and playing the tambourines. Dancing on in cobblestones, we found a place all of our own. Sat down right beside us, we crawled. And she played for me a song on my guitar. Amsterdam, Vondale Park, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Pigeons flying, painters painting the sky.
Thank you so much. God be safe and be well.
Thank you again, Bruce. Oop, let me turn myself on. Sounds like me, only louder, hopefully. Did I get it right? Yeah, there we go. Sounds like me, only louder. As always, Bruce, thank you for your gifts and for your music.
Thanks for it.
Let's enter into a time of more inward turning and inward-centered focus. Accept this as a prayer or as a moment for meditation. And if you're willing, please bow your heads with me. I've said it before and I'll say it again. In a world where you can love both your family and Reese's peanut butter cup ice cream, it can be difficult to truly understand the love we are called to practice. With so many ideas and understandings of love, we provide ourselves with a buffet of choices for how to treat our neighbor and still believe we are treating them with love. May we be reminded that Jesus was never so broad in his definition of love. He taught us to care for those in need, period. To bind up the brokenhearted, period. To feed those who were hungry, to clothe those who were naked, to visit those in prison, no ifs, ands, or buts. Love. The love to which we are called and about which so many great spiritual guides have taught us knows no bounds and sets no limits. May we be encouraged to be more loving with each person we meet, to show more love to those in need, and to share our love in ways that help make this world a better place for all people. And then when our earthly desires and our human instincts get in the way and tell us to protect what we have when others have all too little, may we be inspired to a life that practices love more unconditionally. Amen.